Good afternoon. Just to let you know in terms of the pace, hopefully today we'll finish Tzadi Ches Dalet and do Tzadi Ches Hey. We might need to finish Tzadi Ches Hey on Wednesday, but on Wednesday I definitely want to do Tzadi Ches Ches. My hope is to finish Simon Tzadi Ches on Wednesday, maybe then go into Monday, but by Monday, and certainly Wednesday, to start Simon Tzadi Tes. So you should keep on moving to accommodate that pace. I know it's hard, but we have to get certain things done. In terms of Sif Ches, I'm going to email you today, Bli Neder, an important Mar Makom and Isser Veheter, which is very helpful for understanding that Sif. So I recommend studying it. Okay, so now we're on Tzadi Ches Sif Dalet, and I'd like to make a correction / clarification from the end of Shir last time. So last time we talked about the circumstances under when the possibility to be Mevarer creates an Isser De'oraisa. And I conflated two issues, which were really related, but not the same issue. So number one, as we mentioned, the position of the Pri Chadash, who argues that even though the Rambam holds Safek De'oraisa L'chumra only Midrabanan, he would agree that if it's a Safek Shapter L'varer, that there would be a Chiyuv De'oraisa L'varer, you couldn't be Mekel in that case. That's how he explains why the presumption that an animal isn't a Trefa proves the principle of Rov in the Gemara and Chulin, and isn't just a reflection of Safek De'oraisa L'kula M'De'oraisa. So that is one category. And then there's a similar idea, but really it is not the same, and that's where that requires clarification, as Avi pointed out to me, which is the point that we saw in the Chazon Ish and the Chachmas Adam and the Chasam Sofer. Their chiddush is with respect to Bittul. In that case, there actually is a Rov. And their chiddush is with respect to Bittul, we don't say Bittul anytime it's possible to identify the Isser. And the point simply is that in order to say Bittul, you need a Taroves. A Taroves is defined as a mixture where the Isser cannot be identified. And therefore, anytime the Isser can be identified, so then there is no Taroves, and hence there is no Bittul. And that's a din de'oraisa. So the Chazon Ish says that, for example, if you could identify the bug on the broccoli or the lettuce when pointed out to you, even if you wouldn't be able to find it, but if pointed out to you, would be able to identify it. So we can't say that there's a taroves between the broccoli and the bug, because the Isser is identifiable. If it's identifiable, there's no taroves. If there's no taroves, there's no bittul, and hence the reason why you can't eat the lettuce isn't just a chumra midrabanan because birya ain't a betela, but actually a din de'oraisa because there's no bittul, and therefore there's no taroves, and therefore there's no bittul. And we saw a number of examples of that phenomenon last time. One example was the Chasam Sofer's halacha by the Sefer Torah that had a mistake. Another example is the Chazon Ish's point concerning bugs. We also mentioned last time that not everybody agrees to that point. Now again, everybody will obviously agree that if the Isser is clearly nikar, clearly recognizable, you're not going to have a taroves. You can't simply close your eyes and pretend there's a taroves and say bittul. However, at the same time, when it's something that's very difficult to identify, so there we find the machlokas, harishonim and achronim. We mentioned, for example, the Isser Veheter clearly does not hold of that Chazon Ish and Chasam Sofer and Chachmas Adam. And there are places where we find debate about that topic. The Aruch HaShulchan is also lenient on this question. So that's not the same point as the Pri Chadash, but a related point. That's a halacha in defining a taroves. Does if something is nikar bedochak, is it considered a tarovess, such that midoraisa, at the very least, we would say bittul? Or no, is the possibility for recognizing it mafkia the shem tarovess, thereby making bittul absolutely impossible midoraisa? Along similar lines, we noted a machlokas concerning what constitutes nicker. The case of the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer is when it's nicker la'ayin, meaning to say, if somebody pointed the mistake in the Sefer Torah, I could see it. If somebody pointed to the aphid on the lettuce, I could see it. Nicker la'ayin. That's when they say nicker la'ayin is not batel. What about if it's nicker but not la'ayin through some other means, like nicker al yedei tam? So we mentioned a machlokas there between the Tur and the Pri Chadash. According to the Tur, this was in Simon Kuftes, you could have a taroves min b'she'en omino yavish b'yavish, that midoraisa is batel b'rov, even though it's nicker b'tam. In other words, that's not considered nicker. If you have two pieces of meat that look the same but have a different taste, so is that considered a taroves min b'she'en omino? In which case, midirais, it's batel berov, and midrabanan b'shishim, assuming it's not chashev, or the Pri Chadash says, no, that's not a tarovis, it's true, it's not nicker la'ayin, but it's nicker lepet, that too is nicker. Who says nicker is limited to the eye? And therefore, he says, no, it wouldn't be a tarovis, because it's nicker, and it wouldn't be batel berov. So, that's another manifestation of this same debate. Just because you're machmir for nicker lepet, ayin doesn't mean you'd be necessarily macher for nicker lepeh. You might also say nicker lepeh is so pashut that it is considered nicker, but nicker la'ayin when it's very, very hard to recognize, like a little tiny, tiny bug, no. So they're not, it's another machlokas along these same lines, but not. It's not necessarily the case that they would automatically be tali zeb zeb.
Isn't nicker lepeh just kamo?
Yeah, so nicker lepeh, when you have a taroves of lach belach or balua, so then if you hold tam keikar, so it's an iser d'oraisa. And many rishonim, as we saw, understand that tam keikar means that it's considered nikar al yedei tam, and it's aser. So that's when you're dealing with a taroves of lach belach or balua. The machlokes in simen kuftes, which we'll get there, we'll be ma'ayan in it then, but that's a different question. That's when there's no taroves, lach belach, or balua. Each piece is separate. So tam kicker isn't relevant there, because tam kicker is when I'm tasting heter that has a tam chalisser. Here, each piece is isolated and not mixed together. So tam kicker isn't relevant. Tam kicker is only a shaila where there's a taroves of min bimino, of lach belach, or balua. So that shayla of Koftes is a different shayla. It's nothing to do with tam k'ikr. For example, just to see it, right? We already saw the shachan arsimin always says anytime the tam is nikr, it's aser, it's tam k'ikr, right? Yet over there, he's okay with the tour, right? First glance, it's a steer and shach. But the answer is when you think about it, they have nothing to do with each other. Shach is saying that when I eat the heter that has a tam shalisser, it's always aser. Here, if you hold of bittel, yavish b'yavish, there's no issue of tam kicker because the tastes are me'urav, and it's nefach leheter, so then it's mutter. So again, we'll get back to that shiloh when we get there, but again, another manifestation of the same debate. Now, yeah?
In terms of the nicker la'ayin, microscopic?
So presumably microscopic is irrelevant. The halacha, the vast majority of poskim, and certainly the normative halacha is, that the halacha does not recognize anything that's not nikr la'ayin, the naked eye. And therefore, things that are only identifiable by microscopes are okay. So the fact that your food is full of microscopic bugs is not halachically a problem. If you had a defect on your esrog that was microscopic, it would be kosher. Like Rav Moshe says for tefillin, ribua is defined as what seems to be nicker la'ayin as a square. If you had a specialized tool that would show that your tefillin aren't square, but la'ayin, they appear to be square, they're kosher, and so on and so forth. So halacha does not recognize that which is not nicker la'ayin. When it comes to the laws of Tolaim, which we'll have a chance to talk about at some point, there's a question as to if something is recognizable. In other words, you could see it with your eyes, but you couldn't recognize it as a bug. Is that considered nicker lion or not? Do we say, as long as I can see it and I know it's a bug, then that's nicker lion? Or do we say, no, I have to be able to see that it is a bug? If I could see that it's there, but I can't see any legs or antennas or anything, it just looks like a speck. So is that a bug or is that not a bug? That's one of the issues in the copepod discussion, which I hope to get to. That's not the only issue there, because there you actually can see it as a bug with the naked eye when it's alive easily, not by identifying its features, but by seeing it move. So we'll talk about that. But generally speaking, if it's only with specialized tools, that's halachically speaking not considered nicker l'ayin. Similar thing when it comes to borer on Shabbos, we would say a similar thing. If it comes to using a kli to presumably to separate non-visible impurities in the water, even if, let's say, you wouldn't be willing to drink it without it, so there is an issue of boer because you're unwilling to drink the water with impurities. But if the impurities being removed are not nikolayim, but pashtas, it's not a shayla of boer. Okay, so that's point A. So point B is, and this is very similar to point A, is what happens if it's not nikar la'ayin or lepeh, but you could remove it anyway, and that brings us to the Ramah in our sif. The Ramah writes that if a person is able, if some chelev falls in, now let's assume for the moment that the chelev falls in to a tarovas and a shishim kenegdo. So if you tasted this, you would not be able to taste the chelev. However, there is a way of removing the chelev. If you put it in the refrigerator and it causes the chelev to congeal and float to the top, then it could be removed. Or pouring cold water on it or in it would cause the chelev to become isolated and removed. So the question is, how does that affect the tarobes? So the ability to rectify it, to isolate it, to remove the iser, is that the same thing as nicker or not? That's the question. We find this in a couple of places in Hilchos Tarovis as well. One place where you see it in Hilchos Tarovis is the following question. In the Rashba, in the Taras HaBeis, Dalad Dalad, Lamed Chesem HaBeis, says the following. Let's say you have a kli of Isser that gets Me'urav with Kalim Shel Heter. Do you say Bittel? Right? Let's say you have three spoons. Right? This just happened to me the other day. I had a spoon that became treif. I needed to kosher it. Or my wife thought needed to be koshered. She put it aside, and I saw the spoon in the corner of the counter, and I put it in the sink, and lo and behold, now we have bunch of spoons. One is treif, and rov are kosher. So what's the halacha? So the Rashba says, okay, it's a taroves, yavish b'yavish. So it's batel b'rov. Very simple. The Ra'ah writes on that Rashba. He writes, de kol hecha de nikra iser ein lo heter ve ein lo bittel uvechol davar she'asha lahotzia iser mitocho harehu kenikra iser the kevan shekein. Bizesh afshar behagala ulehaflit ha'iser harezek ilu nicker vein lo heter. The Ra'ah says that anything that's nicker, we don't say bittel, we don't say there's a tarobes. That was the point, that was what we talked about earlier today. And he says, not only that, but point B, anytime you can remove the iser, it's the same thing as being nicker. That's the chiddush. And therefore, since you can remove it, it's kilo nicker. You can remove the sisser because you can kasher the kalim. And therefore, it's aser. Some disagree with the Rashba for a different reason. They say, it's darash yesh lo matirin, we don't say betel. And then maybe we'll say, well, it's a big pain to kasher, or it's not a pain. But this has nothing to do with darash yesh matirin. This is a much more fundamental point. It's fundamentally not betel, not because of darash yesh matirin. That's a chumrah. Because it's nicker isser. Why? It's not nicker. I can't look at the spoon and see which one is straight. But since you could remove the tarfos from the spoon, that has the status of nicker isser. So that's a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. And that really relates to the Rama in our Sif. The question is, this idea of the Rama, that you should congeal the chelev in order to remove it, even when they're shishim, meaning say even when it's not nicker, lepeh, right? Is that a chi of gamor? Is that a chi of the oraisa? Because we don't say bittel in this case, because it could be removed or not. So this is actually a debate among the mefarshim on our page. If you take a look at the Gilyon Marsha, Shlomo Eder, on the side of the page, he says that he thinks that this chiyuv to congeal the fat and remove it is a chiyuv d'oraisa. And he quotes a Ran in Sukkah, Hamad Aleph Adapi Arif, Sofdi B'Maschel V'Garsinan, which he thinks is proof that this is a din d'oraisa. If you look at the Ran, it's not clear that it's the same. The Ran writes, U'bevadei she'in bitol zeh kebitol shari surin, she'in lecha iser she'adam yachol lahatiro v'lamod alav shu batel. So he says that means that anything that yachol hatiro, the lamod alav is in batel, and this is the same thing. Now it's not exactly the same, because first of all here it's a process, there it's more with respect to looking at it, but that's the view of the Gilyon Marsha, that this is a din d'oraisa. So if I go ahead and I don't remove this fat that I could remove by congealing it, it's an iser d'oraisa. That's the view of Gilyon Marsha. The Prima Gadim is also noted that way. However, the Prima Gadim quotes a Crazy Uplacy who holds it's a din de Rabbanan. The Crazy Uplacy sees this more as something along the lines of Davar Sheish Lo Matir and not being Batel. It's possible to be Matir V'Yisr through congealing and removing the fat, and therefore it's not Batel. Davar Sheish Lo Matir is just a Chumra de Rabbanan. So, two views as to how to see this. One view, Shlomo Eger, Prima Gadim, that the possibility of removing it is mafkia the shem ta'aroves, and therefore you have an iser d'oraisa here. And possibility two, no, it's not nicker in its present state, and the possibility of removing it isn't mafkia the shem ta'aroves, and therefore we would still say bittel. One possible nafkamina would be whether it's possible to, well, first before we get there, The makor for this is an Isser Behatta, quoting the Ravan. If you look it up, it sounds more like the Mekilim. The lashon there is that it's mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to congeal it and remove the fat. Mitzvah doesn't sound like it's a chiyav gamor and an Isser d'orais if you don't do so. So in terms of the makor adavar, it does sound a little bit more like the Mekilim. So a possible nafkamina would be whether Nesina Samayim is miskalkel hamachal. The Darkei Tshuva cites a machlokas aposkim about this. The Crazy Placey, as we mentioned, it's in Sifkat and Vav, is mekel. He says that the whole reason for this chumra anyway is because it's Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. Well, if it's going to get wrecked, it's not considered Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. And therefore, if putting in the cold water will wreck the food, so then you don't have to. On the other hand, the Yad Yehuda and the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan is Sifkat and Nun Zayin, they hold that you still have to put in water. Now that's a chiddush, because you could have argued that even if you accept the position of Shlomo Eger that it's an Isser D'Oraisa, still that's only when it's Efsher L'Hakira without ruining the food. But nevertheless, these Achronim, the Ad Yehuda and the Aruch HaShulchan, go so far as to say that even if it's going to be wrecked, there's a chiyuv to be misalik it. And they hold that way because they think that fundamentally, if it's possible to be removed, to be isolated and identified, so then there's no ta'aroves whatsoever, and memela, there's no bittel, and it's asher. Just mention one other marmakom, I'm not going to get into it now, but if you take a look at the Taz in Orach Chaim, Simen Taf Reish Lamed Beis Sifkat and Gimel, there also seems to be a machlokas between the Levush and the Taz about this point. And that citation comes from the Badi HaShulchan. Another place where we'll talk about this later, I'll just mention it now, but we'll get to it later, a very similar discussion, and this is a machlokas rishonim and a machlokas achronim as well, comes up with respect to the following question. Let's say I can identify the iser but not remove it, right? We were talking about now where you can remove it and identify it and remove it, like congealing the fat. What about if something is mixed in and I could see it but I can't remove it? Like a butter with strands of treif milk interlocked in it. So you can't remove it. There's just no way. If you melt the butter, it gets mixed together. If it's solid, it's impossible to remove. So what's the halacha there? And that too is a machlokas. We'll get into that in Siman Kuf Dal. They talk about it when the case of the imritute and the mouse getting mixed in and the like. But so that's, we'll return to that later. I don't want to, since we'll see it later, I'm not going to mention it now, but just another application of this similar type of question. Yes, Sammy?
In the case of the Rosh Bon Ra'ah with the killing, so why was it Eshel HaHasar Eser?
Hagala. Hagala Skelem. Kasher.
Doesn't that mean that every case of the
Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin might be the following. Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin in the Tarovis of Atzei Mukser and the like, right now it's Usser. There's nothing I could do with it now. Oh, Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, but tomorrow it'll be Mutter. So then we say, Midrabanan, it's not Batel. That's just the Chumra Derabanan, because right now it's not. There's no rectification that's possible. Mashenken Hagala, so Ra writes, right now I could be Magil the Kli. Now you could say that the Ra is going even further than this is a bat, or even if you understand like Shlomo Eger. In other words, there are, one can be Mechalek between some of these cases. I'm not saying that every single one of these Shailas is 100% Mukhrach Tali Zebizeb, but it's certainly similar debate.
Does that make it Nigger because you can do Hagala?
That's what they're all right. That was his Lashon, right?
Why is that
Nicker? Nicker doesn't just mean Nicker lion. Nicker means it could be isolated and removed. Or that's the equivalent to Nicker. Because Tarovis is only when something's mixed in and can't be removed. Anything that could be removed is considered Nicker.
What would be the Mokker in the Torah to say that it's not Batal unless it can be isolated?
I would say that the Makor in the Torah is that it's not a Tarovetz. In other words, everybody's going to agree that to say Bittel, you need a Tarovetz. Now, there's actually a very interesting question, which this too we'll get to later, not today, which is what is the Makor for Bittel in the Torah? And perhaps that question would relate to this. A number of Rishonim cite the Pasuk of Achrei Rabin Lahatos, and that at first glance seems problematic, because Achrei Rabin Lahatos, in the case of the Sanhedrin, well, it is Nicker, right? How is it like, how does it serve as a suitable source for Bittul? I'm sure you all know the Reb Chaim and the like. So we'll get there and we'll talk about what is the Makor in the Torah for Bittul, is an important question which we actually haven't addressed. But certainly, Misvara, it's obvious that if it's totally Nicker, you won't say Bittul, because there's no Tarovas. The question here is how far you extend that. Now, it's possible to say that we'll go back to how you understand the Makor for Bittul in the first place, maybe. But L'chora, it's a Svara. And the only question is, how far do we apply the Svara? Okay. A couple more points from Sif Dalet. So, in terms of this question of putting in the water, to the cold water, to isolate the chaylev and thereby remove it, the question is this idea of the Rabban and the Itzer Behetar, is that a chumra or a kula and a chumra? What do I mean to say? Is it only a chumra, meaning to say, if you don't have shishim keneged the chaylev, of course it's asr. There's nothing to do. If you do have shishim, so then there's this chumra, you have to congeal the chaylev when possible and remove it. So it's only a chumra. Nobody's going to say that if there's not shishim, that you can remove the chaylev through congealing and restore this tarovas lehetero. No, it's only a chumra. When there's shishim, you have to do this as a chumra. But it's never a kula. No. Do we say that this method is effective at removing the chaylev, and therefore, even if there isn't shishim, if I could go ahead and put this Tyrolus in the refrigerator, and all the fat will congeal and rise to the top, and then I remove 100% of the fat, so it's mutter. What difference does it make that there isn't shishim? It's a kula and a chumrah. It's a chumrah if there's more than shishim that I have to do it, but it's also a kula if there's less than shishim and I do it, it becomes mutter. That's a very fundamental question about this hetter, which is a machlokas achronim. According to the Ramah in Taras Chatas, the Taz in Sif Katan Zayin, and the Shach in Sif Katan Tazayin, it is a chumrah. And therefore, if there isn't shishim, of course it's aser. And the chiddush is that even if there is shishim, you have to do this. However, the Agos and the Sefer Isser Beheter, as well as the Bach, all write that it's also a kula. And these sources are cited by the Shach and the Taz. They say, no, that if you were able to congeal the fat and remove it, it's mutter. And there is a Mitzias Chiddush here, as well as a Halachic Chiddush. First of all, the lenient opinions show that we assume this method is effective. In other words, obviously, if it wasn't effective, if it didn't work, if we weren't confident that it was effective, so then you wouldn't be able to matir something that was aser. But there's also a very important halachic chiddush here, and that is the following: the Shach and the Taz both ask the following question on the lenient view. We saw earlier in the Shulchan Aruch that we're not just concerned with the be'en of something, but also the tam that is pulling. For example, if a nevela, a piece of nevela meat, falls into some vegetable soup, and you remove the nevela, you still need shishim for it to be mutter. Why? I took out the nevela. Why do I need shishim? The answer is, we're concerned that the nevela was polate its tam into the vegetable soup, and we have to be choshesh that it was polate keneged kulo. If the nevela was a kezayis, that it was polate one kezayis of tam, we have to have that concern, because menaya dinan, as we talked about last time, you don't know how much it was, so you have to be concerned it was a full kezayis of tam. And therefore, even if you remove the kezayis of nevela from the vegetable soup, you'll still need shishim keneged, you'll still need shishim kezayisim shel hetter. So the Shach and the Taz say the same thing over here with this chaylev. So it's true that you went ahead and you removed all the be'en of the chaylev. You caused the chaylev to congeal and you skimmed it off the top, and now there's no longer any mamasha shel chaylev here. Great. But there's tam shel chaylev. Just like the kezayis nevela gives a kezayis of tam into the vegetable soup, such that it's aser even if you remove it, so too this kezayis of chaylev gave a kezayis of tam into the vegetable soup, and therefore even when you remove the kezayis of chaylev, you still need shishim kezayis of shahatar. So even if this method of extraction is 100% effective, it's only effective with respect to the removing of the be'en, but it's not effective with respect to removing the tam chaylev. That is the question the Shach and the Taz ask on the Hagos, the Zerbeheter, and the Bach. So what would the Mekilim respond? So if you look at the Imre Baruch in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, he gives two answers, and we'll consider each of them. The first answer is that you see that the Mekilim hold that when it comes to Lach B'Lach, there is no separate Nesinas Tam, meaning to say that the Tam is the Taroves. When it comes to a piece of Nevela, when it comes to something solid, so there's the Nevela, and there's the Tam Nevela. And when you cook Nevela in soup, so the Tam Nevela could be extracted and separated from the Nevela. And therefore, even when you take out the Nevela, we have to be concerned that the Tam remains. However, that's not the case when it comes to liquids. When it comes to liquids, the Tam is the Mamish. Let's imagine, for example, you have a Taroves of wine and water, right? Wine that's aser and water that's mutter. So if you go ahead and you somehow figure out how to isolate the wine, you put it in a machine that isolates the wine. It would be difficult because wine is mostly water anyway, but you somehow figured out a way how to do it, so we'll say of course it's mutter, right? Or you know, orange juice of Arla mixed with milk or whatever it is. They're not It's not the pshat that they're no same tam zebzeh. Solids and liquids are different. Solids have tam that could be separated from the mamashas, but liquids, the tam is the mamash. There's no separate things. It's not like there's chaylev and there's tam chaylev. Chaylev is tam chaylev. Tam chaylev is chaylev. Hai nuhach. So when you remove the chaylev, you don't have to be concerned with any tam chaylev that remains. That would be the svar of the mekilim. And therefore, the presumption of the shach and the taz, you still have to be concerned with tam chaylev, is no longer a concern. Now, the truth of the matter is, this type of svara already seems to appear in the Rishonim. The Ramban and the Rashban, Kuf Yud Beis of Aleph, I sent them to you in the email, both say that when we're dealing with an issue of lach the lach, I'll just read you the Lashon, Ein lachosh lebliyasan, she'ein lach bolei alach. That was the Ramban. The Rashba writes, halasa, de lach belach lo bali mehadade klal, ella bilbule mevavali. Meaning to say, when you have two atarovas of lach belach, they are not boleya one into another. Rather, they get mixed with each other, but there's no blios. So therefore, if you could somehow extract it, it's going to be mutter. And that seems to support the view of the Bach and Hagos on the Isser V'Heter. What will the Shach and the Taz respond? So perhaps they would say, that's not a good raya, because the case here is where it was nafal atoch tavshil. Meaning to say, tavshil isn't necessarily pure liquids. The chela fell into potatoes and gravy. And therefore, maybe the extraction doesn't work at removing the tam from the potatoes. Okay, maybe they reject the distinction at all. It's not clear, at least not clear to me. But that might be one response. However, if you took a look, I sent you a tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe maintains that when you're dealing with something lach, so then, when you're dealing with something lach, there is never separate blios from itself. You can look at the tshuva, it's a fascinating question. It talks about milk falling into something else. Do you have to be mishar keneged kulo, or just keneged that which it touched? And he thinks, he proves it from the Gemara, he thinks it's pasha to barer, and he even uses this his theory to explain the next sif in Shulchan Aruch, sif hey. Remarkably, he doesn't tie it to our sif. Yet, and he would say this, even when it's nivla into something solid, right? Even if you have liquid into solid, the liquid does not excrete tam separate from itself. So any time you could remove the liquid, it's going to be heter gamur. That's what Rav Moshe would say. Now it seems like Rav Moshe is siding with the Mekilim, is siding with the Bach and Nagosis of Heter against the Shach and Taz, which is very surprising, because we almost certainly paskin like the Shach and Taz. And it's strange that he would just go the whole Shuvah without even mentioning this Machlokes. And again, he thinks it's Pashat Ubarah from Shas that this is true. And yet, it's totally false according to the Shach and Taz. So what's going on? So I suppose that Rav Moshe, and I asked Mordechai Kornblum, Mordechai Shichman this question last night, and he said that he also had this question, and he asked Rabbi Willig. He wanted to, and Rabbi Willig said that the difference is that obviously Rav Moshe would not see chaylev as a liquid, as a davar lach. It's true that when it gets mixed in, we're talking about a case here where it melts and turns into a liquid, but it's sometimes in a solid form, sometimes in a liquid form. As we know, it could be removed here when it's in a solid form. Chaylev, originally when it was in the animal, was solid, it was fat, right? And therefore, he understands, at least according to the Shach and the Taz, that chaylev would be something solid, and therefore would be pole tam other than the mamasha. So the debate then might be, how do you look at chaylev? Do you look at chaylev as a liquid? That's the view of the Bach, or because it's in liquid form in this tarovess, or do you look at it as a solid because sometimes it is in solid form? And that would be the debate. Yeah. What? So Rav Moshe might be against the Ramban, but it's not against, you say that's worse, but I don't know if he had the Ramban, I don't know. You are correct, it is talking about Shuman, but again, yeah, I think you're right. Rav Moshe would be against the Ramban, but not necessarily against the Shach and the Taz, which would be more astounding. Meaning to say, Rav Moshe, you know, he didn't miss a Shach and a Taz. If there's I don't know if he saw every Chidush Ramban. I don't know. It's a good Hara, but I suppose that's what you'd have to say. The second answer, yeah.
Doesn't the Bach himself say that, like in this situation, it'll really get mixed together, or right, something like that?
You're saying in general that flat fat always floats to the top, so it's not just because it's Davar Lach, but it's specifically fat. Yeah. Yep. So the second answer he gives, and that's good. Good introduction to the second answer which he gives, which is basically says no. Here everything separates al yedei nesinas mayim, and like you were saying, Bach, especially true, right? Fat, even when it's in liquid form, tends to float to the top, and certainly when it's in solid form. Meaning to say, even if we accept the hanacha of the shach and the taz, that there is separate tam from the mamish, but it all floats to the top. It never fully gets mixed in. It all will float to the top, and it all could be removed. So just like the fat congeals, so too the tam chelev will congeal, will float to the top, and therefore it too could be removed. This, I'll just tell you, won't get into the details now, another mar makom that this relates to, which we'll get to later on when we do Hanan, is the opinion of the Ravid that there's no Hanan by Lach Belach. And one reason for this, which even fundamentally, though the Rishonim that disagree with him accept, which is Lach Belach, even though again that Ramban and that Rash goes against the Ravid. But anyway, the Ravid Shita, that by Lach Belach, so it's Efshel Asochto, they never really merge, and therefore they could be isolated and separated. Okay, the next thing we have to do here in Sif Dalad is the Rama writes that if the Isser falls into a Kedera, right, so let's have a piece of Nevela that falls into vegetable soup and looks there, then you take out that Nevela and you put it, then it falls into another pot of vegetable soup. So you have to be Machmir twice. The first pot of vegetable soup, even if it has shishin, so the vegetable soup is usser, so you might have thought that all the tam in that nevela was niflat into the first pot of vegetable soup, and therefore when it goes into the second pot of vegetable soup, it will no longer be able to usser it. There's no longer any tam nevela to usser it, and the answer is no, it's still usser. Now certainly it would be usser if you say chanan, but even if you didn't say Hanan, it would be usher, because we don't really know for sure that all the tam nevela went out the first time. Maybe the kezayis of nevela was polate a full kezayis of tam the first time. Maybe it wasn't polate anything the first time, and it's polate the kezayis the second time, or the third time. And therefore, unless we know otherwise, we have to be choshesh that each time it was polate its entire content. So it would usher the first pot and the second pot. And even though, again, it doesn't make sense, because if it ushered the first pot, there's not enough time left to usher the second pot. No, really it ushers the first pot misafik, and it ushers the second pot misafik. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. However, that being the case, the Ramah writes that if it falls back into the same pot twice, it will be mutter. Why? Let's say, again, you have one kezayis of nevela falls into 60 kezayisim of vegetable soup. It cooks there for a while. You take it out, and then whoops, falls right back in and cooks again. So what's halacha? So do you say that, well, falling in the second time is like falling into a second pot, in which case it would be asr, there's no longer shishim. The Rama says no, it's mutter in this case. Why is it mutter? Because manashah, if it all came out the first time, so then it can't answer it the second time. If none of it came out the first time, and it came out the second time, so it's also mutter. Right? A kezayis of nevela can't be polate more than a kezayis of tam nevela, and therefore, manashach, if it falls back into the same pot, and the pot is 60 kezayisim, it's going to be mutter. Adkan. So this makes a lot of sense until you introduce Chanan. Chaticha Atzmanas Nevela. Now, at some point, I think we're going to wait a little bit because to do with the sugya of Chanan, broadly speaking now, would make us have to learn a lot of things that we're not yet ready to learn. I'm not sure if I'm making the right choice or not, but we'll wait a little bit for Chanan. But the basics of Chanan are as follows. There is a machlokes between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam, and all the Rishonim more or less come out one side or another on this topic. And some are unclear, like the Rambam, but Rabbeinu Ephraim says that the principle of Chanan is only relevant for Basar B'Chalav. When you have Basar B'Chalav, so the Torah said, Heter and Heter create Isser. So the milk and meat, so the milk turns into Basar B'Chalav, the meat turns into Basar B'Chalav. If, for example, you have a kezayis, half a kezayis of milk and half a kezayis of meat that get mixed together and cooked together, you have a kezayis of Basar B'Chalav. If you eat that kezayis, you're loka, right? The Heter turns into Isser. Later Frank says, that's for Basar B'Chalav. Because in Basar B'Chalav, Heter turns into Isser. But not by Shari Surin. Shari Surin, so we might hold of Tam Kikr, we might hold of Tam Kikr Deraisa. But Tam Kikr Deraisa does not affect the Heter. So therefore, let's say you had, going back to the Nevela falling into chicken soup. Vegetable soup. You have the one kezayis of nevela falling into, let's say, 59 kezayisim of chicken soup. So, if that taroves of 59 kezayisim of vegetable soup and one kezayis of nevela, or tam nevela, falls into something else, so as long as there is now shishim keneged the isser, it's mutter. So, for example, if simply one more kezayis vegetable soup falls in, it's now going to become mutter, because now there's no longer going to be any tam of nevela. You can't add in a kezayis of vegetable soup, that would be aser, because ein mevat l'nisr l'chatchila. But assuming that another kezayis of vegetable soup or another potato fell in or something like that, some water got mixed in, it's going to be mutter. That's the view of Rabbeinu Ephraim, and that's the pashtus until you look at the Gemara. The Gemara seems to refer to chaticha atzma nasis nevela even by shari surin. What Rabbeinu Ephraim does with that, we'll see when we get there. He thinks that that's only a leave of Rabbi Yehuda. Min b'mino is asr b'mashu. But the view of Rabbeinu Tam is no. That we say chaticha atzma nasis nevela by shari surin. What does that mean? That means, practically speaking, that if you have Isser that falls into Heter, and it's no same Tam, so then that entire Taroves, if it falls into some more Heter, you won't just need Shishim Levatel, the original Isser, but you'll need Shishim Levatel, the Isser, plus the Heter. Chaticha Atzma Nas Nevela, the Heter turns into Nevela, just like by Basar B'Chalav. Right? So, the halacha would be, in that case, what I said before, one kezayis of nevela falls into 59 kezayisim of vegetable soup. You even remove the kezayis of nevela. Those 59 kezayisim are asar, and they fall into another pot of 300 kezayisim of vegetable soup. It's still asar. You need 59 times 60 in order for it to be mutter. Right? So that's the idea of chaticha atzmanas nevela. Now, at first glance, chaticha atzmanas nevela seems to be the same thing as nafach, meaning to say, what's nafach? Remember, and it's great because it's Rabbeinu Tam l'shitaso. Rabbeinu Tam said, we hold of nafach. What did nafach mean? That when you have, if you ate, let's take that example, right? There's a one kezayis of nevela falls into 59 kezayisim of vegetable soup. And now you eat a kezayis of that vegetable soup with tam nevela. You eat a single kezayis, you get malchus. Why? The heter is nafach l'isser. So you get malchus. So it would seem to follow that Rabbeinu Tam is l'shitaso. He says, since the heter is nafach l'isser, so memela you'll need shishim, not just keneged the isser, but shishim keneged the isser plus the heter. And it's great. What could be better? Rabbeinu Tam l'shitaso. However, if you look at the Makoros, it really doesn't sound that way. Every place that talks about Chanan, Bishari Surin, as far as I can know, think of in the Rishonim, talk about it separately from the question of Nafach. They bring different rayos. this is most blatant in the Rush, right? The Rush fully accepts Rabbeinu Tam's position by Nafach, and he's more he talks about Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam in a separate place, and he's not convinced that we say Hanan by Shari Surin. He's no to the other way. When Tosfos talks about Nafach, he talks about it in a different place than he talks about Hanan. He doesn't bring a raya to Nafach from Hanan, he doesn't bring a raya to Hanan from Nafach. And that's true in the Rishonim, in the Ramban, in the Rashba, and the like. It doesn't seem like it's the same thing, and you will even find some Rishonim that will split. Happens to be Rabbeinu Tam holds to both. Maybe you could say you're more likely to hold to one if you hold to the other, but they're certainly not Hainuhach. So then what is Hanan if it's not Nafach? And why could you hold of Hanan even if you don't hold of Nafach? Again, the Ramban absolutely rejects Nafach, for example, right? He thinks that Nafach is the same thing as Heter Mitzdarif L'Isser, and therefore Nafach is absolutely impossible. He's uncertain about Hanan. Now, so how could the Ramban consider saying Hanan without saying Nafach? The answer is, and again, we'll elaborate upon this later, but this distinction is absolutely critical for Sif Hei, which hopefully we'll get to shortly. The answer is very simple. Hanan is a din in bittul. It's not enough to just be mevatel the isser. You need to be mevatel the heter and the isser as long as they're together. The way the Rav said this, the Rav was very fond of this part, is that you have to be mevatel the carrier of the isser, in addition to the Isser. Right? It's not enough to be Mevatel the Isser, you have to be Mevatel the carrier of the Isser. Why did I say that you need this to understand Sif Hei? So I'll just show you one extraordinary example of this. Again, not everybody would go this far. But it's the Shita of the Mordechai, who seems to hold in Sif Hei that we say Hanan, not just in terms of the Blios of a Kli, but the Kli itself, at least with respect to a Kli Charis. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have a kli cheres that was boleya some chelev in it, boleya some nevela in it. So we say Hanan. So even if the cheres itself, the pot is five kezaisin in terms of volume, right? But it was only boleya one kezayis of nevela. You need, if you want to be mevatel that pot, let's say the pot falls into another pot, you need mevatel five kezaisin, not just one kezayis. Right? That seems to be the view of the Mordechai. The Shach thinks nobody could say that. Why? The Shach says, and again we'll get to this when we get there, but just to prelude, the Shach says, how could that be? It's not ochel. It's not usher to eat. You can't say nasa nevela if it's not food. To say it in an extreme way, l'chor, there's no isser to eat the plate. Right? The plate is full of blio shel nevela. There's no isser. It's not food. Nevela shenu elager lo shma nevela. So you could eat the plate. I don't think you'd make a bracha. You could eat the plate. And now you're going to say that you have to be mevatel the plate? How could you even think about Hanan if it's not food? Now, if you assume that Hanan and Nefach are the same, then you're right. It makes absolutely no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. But if you understand that the Yisod of Hanan, and again, we'll explain why this might be, but if you understand the Yisod of Hanan is that it's not enough to just be Mevatel the Isser, you have to be Mevatel the carrier of the Isser, so then it's conceivable, since the Cheres is the carrier of the Isser, so it's not just enough to be Mevatel the Isser, you have to be Mevatel the carrier of the Isser as long as the carrier is integrated with the Isser. And we say that any time they could never be removed, like a kli cheres, so they're integrated, they're one unit, they're one chafza, and the mele, you have to be mevatel both of them. Now, again, that's not to say that if you hold a Hanan, you're going to go as far as the Mordechai. The Mordechai is still a remarkable and extraordinary chiddush. It's still kemat lo nitan le'amer. How could, it's still not food, right? But okay, but you can begin to understand it once you understand that the Yisod of Hanan is not Nefach. The Yisod of Hanan is, in addition to being Mevatel the Yisr, you have to be Mevatel the carrier of the Yisr. Okay, why you say that, we'll explain later. And Hanan is only said when the carrier of the Yisr is integrated with the Yisr. It's one thing. So therefore we only say Hanan when they're inseparable. Right? And that's why the Gemara says, that if you hold Efshel Softo Mutter, of course you're not going to say Chanan. Efshel Softo Mutter says that they could be separated, and when they're separated, it becomes Mutter. So, of course, as long as they're together, you're not going to say Chanan. Chanan is that when Isser becomes integrated with Heter, and it's being carried, supported by the Heter, since that integration is permanent, we look at them as one unit, and therefore it's not just enough to be mevatel the Isser, you have to be mevatel the carrier as well. It's still, again, a remarkable chiddush, why you'd say it, we'll leave for later, but that's the yesod of Chanan. Chanan is not the same as Nefach. And in fact, so what we said, what did we say? We said you could hold of, reject Nefach and still consider Chanan like the Ramban. You might even be able to say the reverse. You might even be able to say Nefach, but not Chanan. How could that be? If I get Malkus, if I eat it? No! Because Rabbeinu Tam, when he said you get Kezias, we're eating Kezias of this Taroves, right? Might still say that that's because the Torah Aser Tam Kikr, and you're eating Heter with Tam Shalisser, that's what the Torah said. So it's Aser. But if you were to be Mevatelet, if you were to add more Heter, such that the Tam Aser is no longer Nikr, it would be Mutter. So you could conceivably hold of Nefach without holding of Chanan. If, for example, originally you had one kezias of Isser Nivla into five kezias of potatoes, so it's true, if you eat one kezias of that Taroves, you'd get Malkus. But if it gets mixed in with a bunch of other Heter, and now there's Shishim connected to the Isser, you can no longer not taste the Isser, maybe it will become Mutter again. Nefach doesn't mean it mamish turns into Nevela. If Nefach means it mamish turned into Nevela, then you're right. Then it would be the same thing as Chanan. But we see not that. And even within the sugya of Nefach, you see that's true, I believe. Okay. So those are the terms. Yeah.
I know this is too good. Maybe I'm being technically here, but with Isser Karbino Kran too, like Dafka, by Blessed Rafala, do you use so it's like a carrier?
So it's a very good question, and when we learn Basar B'Chalav, we're going to get back to that question, which is how do you look at Basar B'Chalav, and what is this discussion about Chanan by Shari Sur, and what does it say about Basar B'Chalav? In the case of Basar B'Chalav, maybe it's true Chanan, or no, maybe it's also a similar idea. There's a machlokas in Basar B'Chalav, for example. Once Basar B'Chalav is created, do we look at it as Shari Surim? And it's like an Isser Machmas Atzmo? Or no, do we still look at it as a Taroves of Isser and Heter? Will you say it's a carrier? What happens if they could be separated? All these questions, is it the way I heard one person say it, is it Basar Bichalov or Basar Vichalov? Right? I heard that from Rabbi Miller, that was his way of formulating the question. So you're absolutely correct, and B'siyata D'shmaya, when we learn Basar Bichalov, or Basar Bichalov, we'll get back to that question. But when it comes to Shari Surim, so then it's not going to be a full-fledged transformation, though it might be by Basar Bichalov. So again, just to summarize, what you're saying is a good question, which is even if you hold of Chanan by Shari Surim, you might still think it works differently by Basar Bichalov, or to put it a little differently, is it possible that Rabbeinu Ephraim's rejection of Rabbeinu Tam reflects a different understanding of Basar Bichalov? Those are good questions, which we'll not address at present, but keep them in mind. Yes?
You could theoretically hold Nefach and Chanan the same.
Of course.
You're saying that you don't have it.
Correct.
Okay. Is the Shach concerned, or he's just messing?
No, so maybe the Shach's question is still a good question, even if you understood that there's a distinction, I think. Okay. Oh. So now, why did we introduce Chanan? To ask the following question on the Ramah. Again, the Ramah said that if you have a kezias of nevela that falls into 60 kezias of vegetable soup, and you take it out, and it falls back in, it's mutter. Oh. So it's true, there's not going to be a Tam Nevela here. But don't you have to be worried about Chanan? How so? The Kezias of Nevela fell into the vegetable soup. A Kezias of Tam was Niflat. It was replaced by a Kezias of chicken, a vegetable soup, which was absorbed into the Nevela, right? So now, when I take out the Chaticha, the Kezias of Nevela, It's quite different than it was originally. Originally, it was pure nevela. It was kezias that was balua betam. Sorry, it was a nevela balua betam nevela. And now all that kezias betam nevela was removed. It's gone. It was secreted into the vegetable soup, and now it's been replaced by a kezias of tam vegetable soup in its place. Now, again, this is going to go back to the question of what exactly tam is. Some Rishonim that say that tam can be weighed. If it weighs the same amount coming in and out, then obviously it didn't secrete any tam. Now, practically speaking, you'll never know that, because for the most part, if it secreted the tam, it might have replaced it by water. So weighing it isn't an effective tool. But in theory, at least, it would be true. Anyway, so again, what's our concern? Our concern is like this. The kezias of nevela secreted a kezias of tam nevela into the vegetable soup. It reabsorbed a kezias of vegetable soup. It absorbed a kezias of vegetable soup. It comes out. Now, if you hold a chanan reish harisurin, which the Ramah does, the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, the Mechaber paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim. Machlokas, what the Torah holds. You'll see that machlokas when you do Sif Hei, the debate of whether the Torah holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim or Rabbeinu Tam. That's the machlokas between the Darkei Moshe and the Beis Yosef, whether the Torah in Tzadi Hei is learning like the Rashba or the Ramban. You'll see that also if you haven't seen that yet. But anyway, the Mechaber paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. So Ramah holds of Hanan by Shari Surin. So L'chora, this Kizayis, when it falls in the second time, will Aser it. Now there's two Kizayis in the Visser. When the Kizayis of Nevela falls in the second time, it's Polate a second time, another Kizayis of Tam Isser. Not original Nevela, but vegetable soup that has been chananified into nevela. You see, it's a verb also. And niflat into the vegetable soup, right? So the question, again, to summarize, is how could the Ramah say that if the piece of nevela goes in and out, you only need once shishim, you should need twice shishim? Because the tam nevela, the chatichas nevela turned a kezias of tam vegetable soup into nevela, chatichas nas nevela, and you have to be mevatel it. So that's the question that the Gra asks on this Ramah. The truth is, the Ramah is based off of the Nisar Veheter. Nisar Veheter also asks the same question on himself, which we'll get to his own answer in a moment, but we'll start with the Gra's answer. So this is the Gra, Sif Katan Chaf. The Gra answers as follows. Avlo kasha, fine. Even though the vegetable soup that got absorbed into this kezayis shel nevela turned into nevela, it's like a second iser that fell in. It should be like falling into a second pot. Kemosha kasav b'simin tzadi tesif abaga. V'atam deha also abalua have b'kedera min b'mino. V'chiyai gavna u'kmua ad'oraisa b'ruba. U'kemosha kasav ha'rash. D'min b'mino gzera b'shishim gzera atu mim shenomino. On. So what does he say? He says a happy answer. Really, you're right. Really, you're right. We should say Chanan here. Except the following. What do you have, essentially? Again, we have, after it fell in the second time, we have two kezayim of Nevela. One kezayis of Tam Nevela, that's Tam Nevela, right? From the first time that kezayis of Nevela fell in. And the second kezayis of Isser that fell in is vegetable soup that turned into Nevela. Right? Those are the two kezayim of Isser that are here. Again, a kezayis of tam nevela and a kezayis of vegetable soup that has a shem nevela. So now he says like this. Okay. So it's really a tarovas of two things. Of mino and eno mino. The tam nevela is eno mino. And minmish eno mino requires shishim d'oraisa. So for that we'll need shishim. But the vegetable soup, which has turned into nevela, so it's aser vegetable soup, is min b'mino with the rest of the vegetable soup. Min b'mino midaraisa, what's the halacha? What do you need? Vatal b'rov. So therefore, in this case, ukmua d'oraisa, they let you get away with Rove for the bittel of the bittel of the vegetable soup, right? So we should look at this as two separate isurim, and here they put it on the deraisa. And why? He says, since the whole reason for min b'mino is gzeiratu eino mino, to require shishim, and here there is shishim connected to eino mino, so we didn't say hanan azevite. In other words, again, he's saying fundamentally you should say there's hanan here, and you should require pa'amayim shishim, but they let you get away with it. Now, there's two ha'aros that have to be made on this gra. The first ha'ara is, I add the following question, which might give you a headache if you think about it too much. Not you. Now, once you say that, once you say this, so then why do you even need to say, ah, ukumua deoraisa? Now, there's a gra fundamentally accepts the question, right? Why don't I say, no, there is shishim twice. You have shishim. You have shishim of vegetable soup, keneged, the kezayis of vegetable soup, that's aser. And you have shishim of vegetable soup, keneged, the tam of nevela, that's aser. Right? In other words, we know that, for example, heter could be mevatel, separate isurim. Right? We'll see that shortly in the Shulchan Aruch, if you didn't get there yet. You have 60 kezayis of heter, and one kezayis of dam falls in, and one kezayis of nevela falls in, it's mutter, right? Because the shishim could be mevatel, each one of those separately. So why don't I say that you have 60 kezayis of vegetable soup, that's mevatel, the one kezayis of nevela, and it's mevatel, the one kezayis of vegetable soup shalisser, right? And then I don't need to say this chiddush that ukmu adir raisa for this. I could say fundamentally you have shishim both ways. So this is my kash on the gra. So I asked Shmuel Kretsch what he thought. He told me I have to learn math a little better. Because it's not true. You don't actually have shishim connected to vegetable soup. Let's imagine the following. Let's imagine, just for simplicity's sake, that the first time it went in, it secreted 0.9 kezayisim of tam nevela and replaced it with 0.9 kezayisim of vegetable soup. Right? And those vegetable soups are nevela. So now, what's left is 59.1 kezayisim of vegetable soup shaheter, and the second time falls in 0.9 kezayisim of vegetable soup shalisser. You don't have shishim connecto.
It's only tam.
Okay, tam vegetable soup. So this goes back to that question of how much do you separate the tam from the mamashas, but we would be concerned that it actually absorbed it would be depleted, like we said, like from that Mordechai, that you could actually weigh this stuff and figure it out. In other words, we would be concerned that it actually absorbed 0.9 true kezayisim of vegetable soup in that time, turned it into nevela, and if that's the case, you could use your calculator to double check, you wouldn't have shishim. So it could be you would, but the Gran knew that you wouldn't automatically have shishim, and that's why you had to come onto this case of ukmo deraisa.
But you still have 0.9
kezayisim
of nevela taste,
so now the question is, could that 0.9 kezayisim of nevela taste get rid of the vegetable soup, right? So I thought about that. So I guess the Gra would say that, okay, but the vegetable soup is aser machmas tam nevela shabot. In other words, why does the vegetable soup turn into iser when you take it out? Because it's tam nevela shabot. So memela nevela can't be mevatel nevela al tmin b'mino. So that's why the Gra had to say ukmo deraisa. Okay. Now, the second interesting point on this Gra, a more fundamental point, is the following. The Gra seems to be taking a side here in a machlokas rishonim that shaw liba de helchasa. If you look at Tosfos on Dav Kuf Chesam Adbeis, Dibur Amaschil Amai, there's a machlokas between Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam on one side and the Ri on the other side. When we say Hanan by Shari Surin, again, all those Bali Tosas assume we say Hanan by Shari Surin, but what is the nature of that Hanan? Do we say that it's like, to use our example, that it's the vegetable, when the nevela turns a vegetable soup into nevela, is it remain vegetable soup, or does it remain, or does it turn into nevela? So the nafka mina would be for Rebbe Yehuda in terms of min b'mino lo batel, but it could be a nafka mina for us as well. For example, the following shaila. Let's say you have salt that's balua bedam. This is a very common question that Shulchan Aruch deals with. Right? You have salt that's balua bedam. So let's say you hold of Hanan, right? So even though, let's imagine, that the salt is only 10% dam, right? You have one kazayis of salt, and you know it's only 10% dam, because you saw the dam fall in, right? One drop of blood fell in to 10 times the amount of salt. So if you hold of Hanan, you need 60 kazayisim to be mevatel it, right? So now you have a different question. Will 60 kazayis be enough to be mevatel that salt? Or maybe no, you'd need 1,000 kazayisim. Because remember, salt is something that's strong, it's a vida latayma, it goes well beyond shishim. You're going to see that in sifches of our simen, right? You have salt or spices, any spices that were balua be'eser. You have pepper, and the pepper was bala chili pepper, Cheyenne pepper, the strongest thing in the world, right? Was bolea some nevela. So now here's the shayla. So we know if you had Cheyenne pepper, shel iser, like arla, so it's not batel, filu echad be'elef, right? Because it's such a potent tam. Well, if you hold of Hanan, so we're saying that we treat the carrier as iser as well. The Cheyenne pepper is iser. So now the Cheyenne pepper that was bolea nevela, do you need, is it batel b'shishim? Or no, maybe it's not even batel be'elef. So that seems to be a manifestation of this machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and Ri, or Rashbam and Ri. According to Rashbam, it would seem, maybe he would try to get out of this, because if you couldn't, then you could never kasha meat. That's the Ri's kasha. But this, it would seem that according to Rashbam, over there, when you hold of Hanan, it turns into a nevela. So this salt that's balua b'dam is salt chel nevela. In which case, it's not batel b'shishim, it's not batel b'elef. The Cheyenne pepper that absorbed nevela would oser afilu b'elef. Just like we're saying that even though there's only a drop of blood in a kazayis of dam, you need 60 kazayisim, right? Not 60 drops, but 60 kazayisim. So too, clearly, we're treating the dam as nevela. So you need to be mevatel the dam. We're treating the salt as nevela. So you need mevatel the salt. And as long as the salt is nirgash, it should be aser. That's what the Rashbam seems to say. And the Ri says, no, that's not true. It's not true. We will treat the salt as dam. And therefore, since dam is batel b'shishim, the salt will be batel b'shishim. I taste the salt, and the salt is nasa nevela. No! Nasa nevela means we treat the salt as blood, right? Or if it's a Cheyenne pepper that got absorbed with chelev, we treat the Cheyenne pepper is chelev, not as Cheyenne pepper. And therefore, since chelev is batel b'shishim, the Cheyenne pepper is batel b'shishim. That all emerges from our simen sifches. You'll notice that the Rama writes that when we say that tavlin are not batel afilu b'elef, it means when they're aser machmas atzman, as opposed to aser machmas chanan. Because if it's aser machmas chanan, they are batel b'shishim. If it's aser machmas atzman, it's not. That's what the Rama writes, as the Shach points out over there. Oh. So what's the machlokas? Again, so we pass it like the Ri. The Ri says that when something becomes aser based off of Hanan, when something becomes aser based off of Hanan, we treat it as the Oser, not the Nasar. Right? So we treat the salt as though it's Dam. We treat the pepper as though it's Nevela. We don't treat it as pepper that's aser. It's not like arla pepper. Okay. So that is the machlokas. Now, at first glance, it would seem that our Gra is siding with Rashbam. Why? Because the Gra said that, look, this is going to be min b'mino when it comes to the nevela dika vegetable soup, right? We're not going to treat the nevela dika vegetable soup as nevela, we'll treat it as vegetable soup, and therefore it's min b'mino, it's batel b'rov, mikar adin, b'deraisa, right? Well, that's great if you learn like Rashbam, but if you learn like the Ri, Hanan says you treat the nevela dika vegetable soup as nevela, in which case you should require beis panim shishim again, hadra kushya l'duchta. Because you have two kazaisim of nevela now. You have the original kazais of nevela, and then you have the chananified kazais of nevela. But according to Rashbam, they're both nevela. So how could the Gra say this? It's shalal libedilchasa. So I think the answer is, and maybe it's pashat, as you're probably noting, that the Shach fundamentally accepts, the Gra accepts the Shach, that when we're talking about Tam Ke'ikar, so we don't care about the Isser, we care about whether the Tam is Nirgash. And therefore, in the case over here, where the Tam Shel Isser won't be Nirgash, it's going to be Mutter. Meaning to say, when it comes to defining something as Min B'mino or Min B'sheino Mino, we'll follow the Shach. And the Grun fact, Paskin's like the Shach earlier. And therefore, this will be considered Min B'mino still. Even though you're right, halachically we'll see it as halachically considered like Nevela, but Lamaisa has the same Tam as vegetable soup. It's vegetable soup moves with vegetable soup, and therefore the Tam of vegetable soup can never be tasted. And therefore, in that sense, Ukmua D'oraisa, it's Batel B'rov. So this is a little confusing, because we're saying when something's chananified, in one sense it turns into the oser, and on the other hand it remains the nesar. And that's because fundamentally these two questions are not the same once you accept the Shach's understanding of Tam Kicker. Just one last point, and another question. As I mentioned before, the Issa V'Heter himself gives a different answer to this question. Again, the question is, if you hold of Chanan, so if the piece of Nevela falls back into the vegetable soup a second time, it should require base pamim shishim, right? So the Gra gave his fancy answer, so the Isveter gives a little less fancy answer. V'lo aminan shechozer kol pam uvoleya heter acher, v'oso heter nasa iser v'nitzdar shishim neged kol nefila v'chaticha. Now, don't say that because of Chanan you need Beis Pamim Shishim in the same pot. Shelo yehaya michui sheyotze mimenu chamor min ha'isr atzmo shesagi la b'shishim b'kedera achas. Oh. So I think this is very similar to what Toso says in a number of places. Shelo yehaya nesar chamor min ha'isr. And even when we say Chanan, this is true. For example, Tosfo says that even if you say Chanan, there's a limit to how far Chanan will go. For example, let's imagine there's a halachic principle called klipa being asr, right? If two things that are tzli touch each other, so it asr is a klipa or a netila, either one. So Tosa says, you hold up Chanan by Shari Sur, and there's Tosa and Sadi Zion. So the outside layer, the netila or the klipa, becomes a nevela, and even though the original, the iser, that's again, let's imagine a piece of chazer hot touches a piece of kosher meat hot, right? So assuming it's not fatty or anything like that, the iser, the chazer, could only go one netila into the kosher meat. Can't go any further. For blios to go further in, you need rotev, or you need it to be fatty or something like that. But if you hold a chanan, so the kosher meat, right, the heter turns into nevela, and that tam could go the next klipa in, and that could go the next klipa in, and next klipa in, next klipa in, each one going further and further and further, and sure enough, the whole thing will turn into nevela. Right? In other words, if you hold Tosas as kashas, if you hold Chanan by Shari Surin, there's no such thing as Klipa or Netila. Everything will always become Asr. That's his kasha. And his answer is, Shelo Yehei HaNesar Chamor Min HaOser. Since the Oser can't go that far, so the Nesar can't Asr pass where the Oser goes. So we only say Chanan as far as the original Isser could go. So yes, even though in terms of Shir, if the Isser is Batel, but you have to be a vatel also the heter, but where the iser itself can go, you don't say Chanan. Now this, first and foremost, is a reflection of the fact, what we were saying earlier, that Chanan by Shari Surin is not true Chanan. Right? If you really, really, really held that Chaticha Atanas Nevela means it's a Nevela, so who cares? It's a Nevela. So who cares that the Oser can't go any further? The Nasar is Nevela, and the Nasar can go further. Right? The answer, though, like we said, is that Chanan is not true Chanan. It's not true Nasa Nevela. And therefore, we only say Chanan as far as the Oser could go, not, and therefore, Ein HaOser, Ein HaNesar, Oser b'makom she'ein HaOser, Yachol Eilech L'Sham. That's what Tosto says. There are different ways of understanding it, but the way the Isser V'Heter seems to understand it is that Hanan by Shar Yisurin is just a din derabbanan, probably Gzeira Atu Basa B'Challa, and therefore it's a din derabbanan. You know, Havud Lolosit. They didn't want to take it that far. If you took it to its logical conclusion, then you never have Klipa, you never have Netila, everything would be coming Usser all over the place. So they only said it to a certain degree. Later, perhaps we'll suggest a more lumdish explanation for Tosis. But the way this Vetter understood it is just, since this is only Dirabanan, so they only went so far. So he says the same thing over here. You're right. Really, if you held of Hanan here, you should require Beis Pa'amim Shishim. However, they didn't take Hanan so far, right? Like he says, Shelo Yeya Michui Shiyata Mimenu Chomer Mina Isser Atzmo Shesagi La B'Shishim B'Gdera Achas. So since the Isser Atzmo Sagi B'Shishim B'Gdera Achas, and this is just a Din Rabbanan, so they didn't say Hanan Azevite. It's similar to what the Gra says in the sense that you're right. You really, if you fully held of Hanan, you should require Beis Pamim Shishim. Just the Gra said it that in terms of Min B'Mino will be Mukim Adarais, and he just says in general, since the Isser itself here is Batel in this one, we don't want the Nasar to be more Chamer than the Oser, and since the Oser is Batel B'Shishim, so too the Nasar is going to be Batel's way. Elliot, you had a question?
The only issue for the Gra would be that presumably Tavlin is also contingent on just Ta'am Nirgash.
Right.
So if we're saying that for that, nonetheless, this chicken soup or vegetable soup Ta'am then available will nonetheless be considered Min Amino because there's no
time near Gosh. Right. So I hear what you're saying. So I think this goes back to the discussion we had after Chabur about the view of the Shach as well. We were discussing, and this also comes back in Simon Sabichas, the following question, which is going back to the Shach. Sorry if you to bring you all back into it. So the Shach, the way I was explaining the Shach was as follows. I said the Shach fundamentally says we always go Basar Shema. However, even though we always go Basar Shema, Tam Ke'ikr says anytime the Tam Nirgash, Tam Isser is Nirgash, it's Asar. So the question is like this. The question, Sammy raised this question during the Chabura, which is like this. What would the Shach say in that case in Avodah Zarah? So I said, I thought like this. I thought, any time, even if it's technically speaking min b'sheino mino, because they have different shemos, but still midoraisa will be batal berov, assuming they have the same time. Why? Because lamaisa you don't taste it. Because according to the Shach, there's no fundamental din you need shishim anytime it's defined as min b'sheino mino. You could define it as min b'sheino mino as much as you want. Since lamaisa the tam isser won't be nirgash, it's going to be mutter. And Elliot pointed out to me, but the Gemara there said that even according to Rava, that Basar Shema's Linan, it sounds like you need Shishim in the case of fresh grape juice mixed with grapes that have the same taste and different names. So I think probably you'll have to answer, unless you say Benesinas Tam means Rove over there, which is very difficult, you'll probably have to answer that that's a Din Derabanan. That's a din derabanan. Midrabanan, you need rove, you need shishim even by min b'mino. Midoraisa, you wouldn't need shishim there because even if it's defined as min b'sheino mino, the tam isser isn't nirgash. And I thought that because it doesn't make a difference. There isn't a second din of shishim by min b'sheino mino other than if the tam isser is nirgash, it's asser. So it's a similar point over here. You're right. Fundamentally speaking, as long as the tam isser isn't nirgash, even though you're right, we are going to treat this not as chicken soup that's not as a pea soup shell isser, but as nevela. But since the tama isser isn't nirgash, it's batel like a din of min b'mino is batel, namely berov. So therefore, the gra is very good. In other words, once you accept the shach, so the vegetable soup shell isser mixed with the vegetable soup shel heter, even though fundamentally speaking we'll say like the Ri, and we'll say this is something, this is a taroves of min b'she'eno mino, not min b'mino, but nevertheless, since the tam ha'isser couldn't be nirgash, it's going to be mutter. Now you're saying, how could I say that at the same time as saying like the Ri, and as long as the tam nevela isn't, no, that's okay, because there it's a different part. There it's saying that since, if you have salt balua bedam, so since we see this as salt chalisser, the shear shishim follows dam's shear.
Finish meaning that they are inverse cases, but there again, the tam is, if you say everything follows tam,
so no, we're not saying everything follows tam. We're saying that
as it's the right, same tam. Yeah. It's one directional.
Right. Now you're right. You could, to a certain degree, there's an inconsistency there. I think I acknowledge that. I have to cheshbon it, but I think enough and me. All right. I guess we're not going to get to sif hey. Next time, Beis Hashem, we'll do sif hey, and hopefully on Monday we'll finish. Maybe we'll start ches next time also, but on Monday, hopefully we will finish simin tzadi ches. Have a good day. Thank you.